Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Boss.
B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and always I'm super excited for my guest today. I got another one of my girls from the U. It's all about the U, y'all. So I have Stephanie Douthit here, and she is a project manager for affordable housing developer in Miami. So Stephanie, what's up, girl?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, I had to have you on there, especially, you know, I try to talk to women that are doing a lot of, you know, different, I guess, against the grain things in real estate. So you definitely was top of mind. We got to learn more about the world of project management and construction. So first and foremost, thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate it. I can't wait to hear all the things that you have to tell us. So first of all, talk about you. How did you first get interested in real estate?
My first interest in real estate peaked when I graduated from undergrad. I graduated at the peak of kind of the recession, and honestly, I fell into my job. I was lucky. A lot of my classmates didn't get jobs, but I went into property management. I started as a leasing consultant, and then I was eventually promoted to a property manager. With that property, it was in downtown Winston-Salem, which is in North Carolina, which is where I'm from originally. And in that area, it was a lot of revitalization. It was taking old factories and making them into apartment communities or just new development in general. And so I started participating in what they call the Downtown Winston-Salem Partnership, which is a community-based, social-based organization, but they also create the downtown plan. So it was just really, really interesting to see how real estate changed the dynamic of the area, you know, how you move throughout the space, the roads and things that you take, again, new developments, new restaurants. So I started following all those things, and that was like, wow, how can I be a part of that? And, you know, how do I, you know, kind of change my perspective, not just moving through the world, but how can I change how, you know, the world moves? And I think that's the big part with real estate. Real estate changes your life, you know, when you go to your grocery store or where you live. Transportation affects real estate as well. So I decided to go to grad school, which is where, of course, we met at the University of Miami, and that triggered just studying real estate development. And that's where it started, that knack started, and studying it just further cemented, you know, my feelings about wanting to be, you know, in development.
Okay. So once you graduated, or even I know you like interned while we were still in school, what was some of the experience that you had that made you really be like, okay, this is something I really love and I want to continue?
So honestly, I fell into construction. It was one of those things where it's like, I'll try it. You know, why not? You know, it's here and I actually really like it. And what is different for me versus property management with construction, I have a baby for a little bit. I start with a project and then I leave it. And it's not a bad thing, but with property management, to me, it feels like you're on a hamster wheel. You know, you're with the same property, you're doing the same things, you're always doing, you know, your maintenance requests, dealing with residents, those types of things. So that got me excited about kind of making that transition and having an impact at multiple levels. And then again, construction, I've always been that person where you know, you probably would see me walking into a new construction house, checking out things. So it was nice to see from the ground up how, you know, these buildings were built. So that's always been of interest to me.
Cool. So just give us a kind of overview of what you do now, your role as a project manager, and, you know, just some of the things that you see on a regular basis.
So as a project manager, I am responsible for, of course, the financial health of a project. So we do a budget for the project. Typically, the buildings that I build are around $22 to $25 million. So significant costs are involved with that. We do the contracting with all the subcontractors. I should back up and say, I work for a general contractor. So we don't physically do the work. We hire all the subcontractors to complete the work. So that's electrical, plumbing, the shell, all those things. So from the beginning, we work in contract with these subs, and they are the ones that physically, you know, build our building. So we manage the budgets, we manage the schedule as well. When you deal with affordable housing, as you mentioned, you have a place in service date. So a place in service date is a critical date with affordable housing, because you have to get, as they say, beds, heads in beds to satisfy the tax credits that have been received by investors on the project. So typically our projects are about 14 months long, and you need to meet that date. So there's no penalty to the investors and our owners technically to get that project going. So it's high stress, but high stakes. I do really enjoy the affordability side of it. It's competitive. We have to submit applications, and typically from the point of applications to construction is about 2 years before we even break ground, and then about 2 years or so to complete the project. So incredibly competitive, which I actually like. The affordability in Miami is not there. Actually, I shouldn't say that. It's affordability in Miami is a hard to come by item. I mean, when you think about the average rental rates of about $1,800 a month, most people, you know, can't afford that. So with our buildings, they're for the elderly and for families that, you know, can't pay those high rates.
Yeah, I know, like when we were down there at the U, like it was, I feel like it was like when they first really started the transition to have a whole bunch of new development taking place and gentrification in the city. So what, like now the state of Miami, I know it's a bunch of new development, like everywhere skyscrapers popping up all over the city. So what is your opinion of how, you know, the market is going in terms of development now?
Like you said, there's always cranes in the sky in Miami. I always wonder where all these people are going to go. I mean, even currently where I live, it's all new development, and it happened since, you know, been down here in Miami. So it's amazing to see how things have changed. I think that a lot of the new inventory, of course, is your high-end luxury, you know, towers and things like that. So where we fit our little niche is, it's really important. We tend to do a lot of public-private partnerships with the different jurisdictions, so Miami-Dade County, the city of Miami. And so we often build on their vacant land, which actually helps them meet their goals of having affordable housing as well. So Miami is competitive on the high end and really on the affordable side as well. We just have to find the balance, you know, between the two, just for, you know, in terms of local residents.
Ooh, so, you know, on this show, we always obviously talk to women of color, and always got to talk about what are some of the challenges you face as a woman of color, specifically in the construction industry, which is, I don't have to really say, like, it's dominated by males. So what are some of your experiences in that regard?
For sure. Yes, I'm often the only woman in the room, often the only woman on the site. I mean, it could be 150 men and me. But I will say, though, that there are lots of places in the construction industry in positions where women, you know, fit in easily. And I honestly, you know, to toot my own horn, I think that women as project managers tend to be better. Even since I've started, we've picked up a couple assistant project managers as well as another project manager. I have a civil engineer that's a woman. My architect's a woman. So we're here, but you often don't see us in the field, which is more or less where I am. No, I'm not like a superintendent. I'm not, you know, manning the forces and making sure rebar gets in place and things like that. But we definitely serve a need as a woman of color in Miami. I would say I have to differentiate in Miami. A woman of color, a Black woman in Miami. Versus a typical dominant Latin culture and workforce. That's been not so much a burden because again, as a project manager, I'm working with owners of companies, architects, engineers, things like that. But the only difficult portion is I don't speak Spanish. I can kind of piece some things together, but typically, and not always, but you know, those in the field are not always, you know, English speaking. So mm-hmm. it works out well for my superintendents. They can communicate as necessary, and you know, we go from there. But that's been my greatest challenge. This mm-hmm. is not, you know, speaking the language. I haven't had really any adversity in terms of me being a woman. I get the sweet talk from the men and those types of things, but I just say, hey, do you talk to my male counterparts this way? Then don't talk to me that way. Right. And then, you know, you just set those boundaries early and they go from there. I think my work that it speaks for itself. So they can't really say I'm a woman and they can hold it against me. So
I got you. That. So are you involved in any like nonprofit organizations or anything like that within the project management industry that kind of help with your networking and whatnot?
Certainly. I actually have worked with the University of Miami. They have a Nexus program and I thought it was amazing. Never heard of it. And I'm glad I got to participate. I was a volunteer judge. They had a little real estate competition for high school students mm-hmm. of color. So they brought students in from different areas, some were from Miami, and they were Black, Latino, Asian, a lot of different underrepresented groups. And that was the most amazing experience I think I've had since I've been in Miami. It was a great, I wish I knew about something like that when I was in high school. I didn't learn about real estate and development until later in life. So to just have that general exposure, I think is a key. I'm also participating on a panel in November as well. I was asked by Linda Harris. She's a local politician and she's also into real estate development as well. And she works with Miami-Dade County. And again, similar to what you're doing, finding women that work in the industry and figuring out the challenges and things like that in Miami in particular.
Mm-hmm. That's good, girl. Hobnob with those politicians.
I do that actually a lot. Like I said, with the public-private partnerships, I'm often mm-hmm. working with Miami-Dade County officials, transit. We have a relationship with them as well. And that we tend to partner with local, smaller groups, whether mm-hmm. it's the MLK EDC or things like that. Again, just to partner and make sure that not only as a larger developer and construction team that we are doing our part, but we're also serving the community as well.
Dope, for sure. Is there any advice that you would give to somebody that maybe is just learning about real estate and project management and how they can get more involved or how they can learn more about the field in general?
Certainly. I think this is a fault of women. We want to have everything perfect before we start. And that's a very general statement, but I find that, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're overly prepared. Just jump in. just jump in. I don't know everything now. You know, I'm managing projects, but I'm willing to, you know, to learn and to grow and ask my questions and to not be afraid to say that, you know, you don't know something. I'm the first to say, explain this to me. So that way, you know, we know moving forward where we need to go. So just diving in, reading a lot, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a gateway to so many things, you know, because we don't always have access to people, you know, to similar to what you're doing, which is great, but most people don't have a platform or they may be shy to reach out to people. So that's always a great starting point, has always been a source for me as well. So just jump in. I know it's easier said than done, and I've had to get over that myself, but just go walk up and talk to someone, pick up a book, you know, and ask lots of questions.
Okay. All right. So lastly, where do you see yourself? Are you trying to get on the path to be a general contractor yourself, or where do you see yourself in terms of your career advancement?
I totally see myself actually getting my GC license and building as well. I love it. I really do. I love the process, good and bad, the physical portion of it, the dealing with the financing and getting all your development things in place. I love it. That's definitely a path I want to do. I will do that on my own. But I like working in the arm of a big company just because you have the exposure to so many things. And and I say big company, but big small company. Once you get into the industry and you realize how close things are between, you know, general contractors, you realize that that power of networking and how you can leverage the people that you work around. Like I could totally source all my subcontractors to help me build my knowledge and to study to get my GC license. So it's a perfect opportunity for that.
Well, all the best. I know you're going to make it there, of course, and kill it like you've been doing with everything else. But real quick, I want to shift to talking about you investing personally. So we just talked about you and your mom are trying to buy some property. So how's that going? And, you know, what else are you planning to do on the personal side in terms of real estate investing?
Definitely. Yes. My mother and I, we started a LLC. We're doing business in North Carolina. She's my boots on the ground there. So I'm more or less, you know, running numbers and things like that from my end and looking in on Zoom videos to see how things are going. We've had our ups and downs, some learning curves as well. But I think the North Carolina market, similar to most markets, are hot right now. There's so many properties that, you know, we put in a bid for and it's gone quickly. So we're just learning to navigate to kind of change, you know, what we're looking for, not change what we're looking for, but pivoting a little bit, you know, to see where we can, you know, adapt to things that are moving so quickly. We went into this wanting, you know, small duplex, triplex, something like that. But again, the market is not dictating, you know, that. So we are looking to primarily find single family homes or condos at this point in the Winston-Salem, Greensboro area. And we're just working with local realtors to find that first deal. We just established our LLC back in March. So I think we've done, you know, a fairly good job with our learning curves to get things going, because a lot of people think, oh, you're in, you know, real estate, you're in construction, you're in development, but residential versus commercial, which is what I do, you know, 100 plus units is a totally different ball game. And it's a learning curve for both of us to go through that, because the scale of things that I'm used to working on is not where we are doing, you know, these smaller deals, as I like to say. So that's where we're going. And hopefully, you know, our goal is to close on something before the end of this year.
Well, I know for sure that y'all will get something good. And obviously any help that you guys need, any questions, please feel free to reach out whenever. Definitely want to help y'all get that property. Cause yeah, North Carolina, specifically that Winston-Salem, like Research Triangle, all that area is like super hot, like you say right now. So
for sure. Definitely. Hot, yeah. So yeah, if you know of any places we're looking to do, we're looking to buy and hold and have a long-term rental. So certainly we'll reach out some advice.
I know you'll get it. Okay. Is there anything else that you have coming up either personally or professionally that you want to tell us about?
What, personally or professionally?
You kind of already answered this a little bit, like what your thing coming up. Yeah. Okay.
Anything? I'm starting a new project. It's 120 units. It's going to be in Miami's Liberty City neighborhood, and Liberty City is a underdeveloped area. And so again, that's why I really enjoy what I do. We're bringing a service and quality housing to, you know, underserved areas. These will be affordable. But again, we have, I like to explain to people that the product that we produce is a great product. Everyone will live there. I mean, we have, you know, quartz tops and nice cabinetry and those types of things. So it's not what people, you know, perceive it to be. So I do like that part of what we're doing. We work with a lot of different contractors because of our affordability requirement. We have to hire minority contractors, women contractors as well as hire people from the community. So it's all a big circle. And I love that part of the competition.
Okay. Oh, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you real quick, how is COVID affecting everything that's going on with business?
So COVID, I mean, unfortunately, fortunately, construction has never stopped with COVID. So we have had, unfortunately, some outbreaks on the job site. We've had some protocols in place to, you know, move people off the site, of course, and, you know, testing requirements, things like that. But it certainly has changed. Construction can be, I won't say a dirty world, but it's not a pristine, you know, area of work. You know, we deal with, you know, dirt and bricks and sticks and people that are involved with it. So I do think there are going to be different practices moving forward, just with, you know, cleaning stations, things like that, that make sure that, you know, people are being safe. I think it may, COVID, I think, changed the world in the sense of, you know, how we manage our own health and, you know, everyday steps that we have to take to, you know, prevent the spread. So, you know, extra cleaning stations, extra sanitizing stations, masks, those types of things. So where, you know, often in construction, because of exposure to sun, people are often covered, you know, for different purposes. But I think it's kind of been an easy adaptation to wear the mask as well.
That's good. I am glad that people are getting a little bit more conscious about their sanitation. That is one good thing to come out of it.
For sure. Yeah. A good thing to come out of COVID, I hope, forever and ever.
I know. Right. Okay. So let me just transition now to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. And it's just four questions I ask all the guests. So just whatever comes to mind, just go for it. All right. Okay. The first question is, what is your favorite real estate book?
It's a book called Walkable City. Is How Downtown Can Save America One Step at a Time. As I mentioned, I was living and working in downtown Winston-Salem, and it really exposed me to center city living, walkability, public transit, which I actually love. Most people kind of oppose public transit. But the idea behind the book is that suburban living and being car dependent has increased not only, you know, our environmental issues, but our health issues and those types of things. So being able to, you know, walk to get your groceries or, you know, bike to work, or even just have a close commute changes, you know, the stress levels in your house, in your life. So I think it's a really good book. It's by Jeff Speck, and he just really talks about all the different dynamics that are impacted in our lives. And I think that people in general, I get, you know, people want space and land and those types of things. And that's the ideal for some, but I think we should be more dependent on our center city, you know, services.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the second question is, what advice would you give to yourself just getting started in real estate?
What advice to my younger self? Just go for it. I get in my head a lot, and I think I probably emphasized that early, but just go for it. You don't have to be prepared for everything. You do have to have ambition. You do have to have drive. You do have to have some spark, something that's driving you to, you know, to keep going, but the knowledge will come, you know, as you grow and you learn. So that's my best example. I mean, even moving forward in my career, you know, now as I'm older, I'm really like, I can take this next step. You know, that self-doubt, you know, just decreases over time. And there's no way, I think you have to grow through that. I don't think that's a thing that you can say, you know, when you're to yourself when you're young. You have to kind of have some experience to do that. I mean, even with you, for example, you know, you've had a pivot with some of the things that, you know, you were doing as well. So it's just, yeah, it's, that's my best advice to my younger self, is just do it.
Yeah. I would also say, like, once you get older, you stop caring as much about what other people think. And
that too.
And so you're like, look, I want to go for it. I don't care. You know, I may fail or I may not be perfect at first, but it's something I want to do and I enjoy it. So
for sure.
Yeah, like I said, just go for it.
Yeah, prepare yourself. You know, don't go blindly. You know, don't jump off the deep end without, you know, a life jacket. Yeah, or something. But I will say that part. But, you know where you're going and then just fail forward. I think that's the best way to go.
Cool. All right. So the third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
Probably tax liens and tax deeds. I know that's a good way to get into real estate, kind of a low starting point in terms of cash and things like that. Of course, it may depend on the area that you're in, but I wanted to get more into it. Then COVID happened, and then all the auctions and things like that are typically, you know, in person were canceled. But that's where I like to go next. I think it's an easy entry point, but I just like to go and just be a fly on the wall and see the process and what happens. And Florida, you know, it's tax lien and tax deed. And you just have to figure out those rules, you know, state by state.
Well, I guess a good thing that come out of COVID again is that most of the auctions are done online. So if you were ready to venture outside of your local area, that's, you know, helpful. I heard Indiana is a great market for a tax lien sale.
Okay, so, I'll check Yeah. My mom and I were looking at it, but probably just North Carolina is a little slower with those things. They weren't doing online auctions. So I should check that out again for sure.
Yeah. And then I know Florida has resumed them, and that's something I want to do as well to get, you know, you can buy land from that as well. And they have the land banks. So that's a whole nother conversation.
For sure.
Okay. So lastly, can you please give a shout out to another lady that's doing some awesome things in real estate?
Another classmate of ours, I'd like to shout out Nicole Nikki Santander. She is a land development manager with Creighton Construction. And she's been doing a great job. She's done some retail management. She's done quite a few different things. So I always admire her ambition and the different roles that she's taken on, but all, you know, within that real estate realm.
Awesome. So shout out to Nikki. All right. So how can people follow you? How people can get in touch with you or learn more about the projects that you have going on?
To learn more about the projects that I have going on, I work with Atlantic Pacific Communities. We're a well-known local affordable housing development. You'll see our name and the company and what we do on the website as well. And that's it. You can find us there. I don't want anybody to follow me.
Right. I know you are super low key. That's how you like to keep it.
So. Yeah. Don't call me.
Well, I appreciate you coming, into the forefront, into the live light right now.
Yeah. Definitely. I would do it any day for you. So I'm thankful that you asked. And I'm so happy for you that you are making your way through this and starting a new venture with this podcast. You kind of jumped in. So much respect to you. Kudos to you for doing
Thank
that.
You.
And, just happy to see you working and growing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for supporting and listening. So, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everybody that's come on so far. So, all right, Steph, any last words for the listeners out there?
Again, just jump in. Real estate has a lot of areas that you can learn and grow as a woman in construction and doing it on a daily basis. Don't count construction out. It's definitely a place for you, and you can thrive here as well. And I'd love to see more women, so similar to your platform and, you know, what you're doing. Real estate in general is a man's world. So I think that we bring a strategic eye and even just general direction of where you want to take things. And I think that women are much needed. So definitely, if I can help in any way, I'm always here. So
absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it. You know, I'm always watching from afar and rooting for you. I know you got big things popping. Any way I can help you, please let me know.
Will do. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. All right, guys, it's another episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. Really enjoyed the conversation today. And again, I'm your host, Jessica Washington. Thanks for my guest, Stephanie Douthit. And see you guys next time. Thank you.